from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, the 31st Psalm, verses 19 to 24. Listen to David pouring out his heart to the Lord. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hide them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight. But you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all of you, his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. He abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who wait for the Lord. Thanks. The word of the Lord.
As I said, our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. Hear now the word of God. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed. And they kept asking one another, What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. So where do I start with this passage? Do I start with the man who is healed? Do I start with the concept of unclean spirits? Or do I start with Jesus' astounding teaching ability? All three of these are deserving of analysis, but what stands out for me in this passage is the reaction of the onlookers in this story. Mark tells us that after witnessing what Jesus had just did, Mark tells us that they were amazed. That might be the best place to start on this passage. They were amazed. I've been mulling in my mind these words all week. They were amazed. They had just witnessed Jesus' teachings and his miracle all in one day at the synagogue, and they were amazed. And it got me thinking, are we still amazed today? Maybe we should be. As I look around our church and our denomination, I see and hear of some amazing things going on, things that should continue to amaze us. Consider this, for example, the story of Felipe Martinez. He is a young man who was born in Mexico to a fourth generation Presbyterian family there. He decided to answer God's call to the ordained ministry, and he attended McCormick Seminary in Chicago. From there, he received his first call to St. Anne's Presbyterian Church. Now, if you're like me, you might think that St. Anne's Presbyterian Church is somewhere down in Mexico, or perhaps on the west side of Chicago. But it is not in Mexico, and it is not in Chicago. It's not even in the suburbs of Chicago. In fact, St. Anne's is not the name of the church, but the name of a small rural town in central Illinois. And the church is not populated with Mexican immigrants, but with white farmers. And so here is a bilingual, urban, Mexican-born Presbyterian pastor serving in an all-white rural farm church in Illinois. I heard Philippe speak a few years ago, and he said, even he is amazed where God leads. And then there is Highlands Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida. This church helped to establish Family Promise, which provides assistance to families who have children but have no home. The program has helped 85% of the participating families find long-term housing. Through this ministry, Highlands Church and its partner organizations are helping to solve the problem of homelessness one family at a time. And I just find it interesting that churches are coming up with the most creative ministries. In my work within our presbytery, I come in contact with some dynamic ministries that churches are doing. One such ministry is so simple, one wonders why it hasn't happened earlier. One of our churches in our presbytery wanted to expand their relationship with local food pantry, and so they approached them about hosting a food drive. The pantry personnel said, well, thanks, that would be great, but if you really want to help us, you could collect hygiene products. You know, soap, detergent, toothpaste, deodorant, feminine products, and the like. So the church did that. They held a drive in the church for those sorts of products, and they were able to stock up their local food pantry with all these very needed items. That sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But the story doesn't end there. This is the amazing part. Other food pantries started calling them and saying, could you do the same thing for us? And so they did, but they did something else as well. They started to get other churches involved. So now that there is a network of churches that are now supplying food pantries with these needed hygiene items. Our own church is not without its own amazing stories. Down in our lower level, nobody gets down there these days, but if you go down there, we have a room that we call the mission room, and it is filled with wheelchairs, crutches, walkers, and other mobility equipment. That room is the supply closet for our mobility assistance program. Each week, sometimes more than once, each week, we loan out those walkers and crutches and rollators and wheelchairs to people who need them. We loan them out, and some of them even get returned. But we don't care, because we keep getting more. Sometimes these loans are temporary, some they're permanent, but we never seem to run out. In fact, more comes in than we can possibly store or give out. So now we have a partner church, a Methodist church in Pickerington, and we give them our excess for their same ministry down there. And still we get more. And it's one of the most exciting ministries of our church, and no one knows about it. But that's not the only one. Just this morning, I was handed a copy of an email that came to those who work with our Habitat Partnership. The Habitat Partnership builds houses for people in the Delaware community. When a family moves into a house, into their finished house, Habitat presents them with a gift basket of food and a quilt. Now the food comes from Warren. Any guesses on where the quilt comes from? That's right, it comes from our own Fabrics of Faith ministry in our church. Another ministry, amazing, doing amazing work, and yet it happens so quietly here. Now, not all the amazing things in the Presbyterian world are going on in the churches. Some are happening in Presbyterian church camps. One such camp with an amazing ministry is Camp Chanco. Camp Chanco serves children of incarcerated parents, giving them a chance to experience life beyond the stresses of their home situations. The camp incorporates Bible study, arts, craft, nature studies, along with conflict resolution and self-esteem classes. The children who go to that camp leave the program in a much better place than when they arrived, and they come to be an inspiration to others when they return to their world. There are amazing stories out there. But then maybe the most amazing story I found involved a man named Max and a church called Light of Hope Presbyterian Church. Now, Max was a homeless man who frequented the neighborhood of Light of Hope Church. And on a particular Sunday in August, Max decided to visit the Light of Hope Church. Light of Hope's pastor, Edwin Gonzalez Gertz, said Max was known in the community. He would stand in lines getting boxes of food for people he didn't even know. And yet he struggled with mental illness, and the community knew about that as well. The pastor said that Max was tired of the church's indifference to him, and we were the last one he was going to visit. What happened next? Welcome, acceptance, and a cleansing baptism wouldn't have happened without a layer of miracles that began more than 3 years earlier and continued to that very day and beyond. You see, Light of Hope Presbyterian Church began as three congregations located within 6 miles of each other. All three churches suffered from the effects of white flight out of their city, and were left in older neighborhoods and dwindling memberships. A few years ago, the leaders from these three congregations put together a vision team to determine their collective future. Early in the process, a consultant asked the vision team, "What is the wildest, craziest thing you could do?" Think about that for a moment. What is the wildest and craziest thing that they could do? Well, one of the team members had an answer. To best serve our neighborhood, she said, we should sell all our properties and start from scratch. Nearly 3 years later, that was the option that the churches chose. They hired their first pastor and began worshiping as a congregation, and they called themselves Light of Hope Presbyterian Church. In the months that followed, they began learning to just get along. And while they had intended to serve their city neighborhood, their energies were spent in learning how to combine their congregations into one. And then came the Sunday morning that Max arrived. Before Max walked through the church's doors that Sunday morning, Sunday school classes were meeting. And the one class talked about how their personal stories of faith were connected to the larger story of Scripture, which they were called to share. They also talked about God's promise of relationship to help heal brokenness. As fate, or God, would have it, Max walked into that Bible study that day. And the class now had a test a test of their own faith to deal with. The group found Max easy to talk to, and while they knew of his mental health issues, they welcomed him. And as the members of the study said later, the Holy Spirit took hold and something really big happened. As the members of the study accepted him, Max's felt his heart opening up. After finding only indifference at other churches he had visited, he sensed something different was happening here. Letting go of the rejection that he felt from other church experiences, Max blurted out, "I want to accept Jesus. Aren't I supposed to get baptized now?" Max's baptism came, and Max's baptism helped ground light of hope, bringing them back to their original vision of outward-focused ministry. As one member put it, "We are learning not to be afraid of change so that God's purposes can be fulfilled." Their ministry of outreach to the community continues to this day. So you see, God is still providing miracles. And I hope we are still amazed. Amen.